Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, school's in for the autumn.
Yeah.
We got a lot of back school apps to talk about today.
Sing that, Alice.
I will.
Plus, donate that old Mac to a needy school, options for jailbreakers, and a plethora of duh tips.
All that and the best photo app we've seen in a while on iPad Today.
Woo! iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Your ability to stay mobile can be key to your success. With GoToMyPC, you can work from anywhere, anytime, right from your iPad. Download the free app and visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Promo code iPad. And by Netflix.com. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, visit Netflix.com/TWiT.
That was pretty good. It was kind of
just I matched the hooch guy.
He has a huge hand.
Giant hand.
So, Leo, we're thinking about what could we possibly talk about that would be timely and informative on this episode of iPad Today. And before we could sit around and worry about it too much, we actually got a voicemail from a kind viewer who decided to choose this week's theme for us.
We actually prefer that.
Yeah.
You tell us what to do.
Hey, Leo. Hey, Sarah. I was wondering if you guys could do a show theme on back-to-school apps. Now's the time when a lot of kids are getting more tech, and the iPad especially is a great tool for school. And I was wondering if you guys could review a bunch of apps for going back to school, help kids get organized, and just have fun with school. School is a big part of our lives. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I can't have fun at school.
I'm glad it's a big part of his life.
Do kids really bring iPads to school?
Yes, many schools use iPads,
really?
In fact.
Wow, yeah, interesting.
You know that.
Well,
by the way, he called back to tell us his name was Anthony.
Hi,
so he
Anthony.
Actually called twice. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for the... This is actually a really, really good idea because this week was back to school for a lot of kids.
Well, almost everything that we talk about, every game we talk about is a school app. I mean, if you want to have fun in school. But we have some actually educational apps there.
We do.
Maybe some fun in the educational side of it.
Well, the whole idea, I think, is that your app isn't going to replace a teacher or anything.
No.
But there are supplemental games and activities, flashcards, note-taking. I mean, there's so many things that the iPad can be as a great tool for school.
I almost think of it as something you have at home that helps you in school. In fact, that's one of the apps I have is going to help you with that. But why don't we start with an
something,
app that
something
you
called
like a lot.
Elements. And I'm actually somewhat new to Elements. It is actually a new app. MG actually told me about it. I'm not sure where it is.
Is it really a new app? Because I've been using it for a while. They may have updated it.
Perhaps that's what it is. Perhaps I looked at the fact that it was updated on August 11th. So I thought that it was new. It was new to me. So this is it's a Dropbox and Markdown powered text editor is actually the full description. So what's great about this is if you're a Dropbox user already, it is absolutely seamless. In fact, you have to sign in to Elements with your Dropbox account. So in order to even start using Elements, you've already got the two synced. Once you're in the app, if you want to take a look at my screen, this is a very simple interface.
It's very easy to edit.
There you go. Very simple. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a pretty simple text editor. Obviously, I've given it a title. You know, I've written down some stuff. You can change the text, the font, the size, the color. It's pretty simple. I mean, you don't have a lot of options there. You can arrange folders. What's sort of strange about this is that you have to, let's say I was going to, you know, I'm creating a new folder here. So I have multiple folders and maybe multiple documents. I have to arrange the documents inside of folders within Dropbox rather than within elements. Some people have complained about that, that they don't like that. I tend to think that that's probably where you would do most of your organizing anyway, because right. the iPad use would be more on the fly.
Right.
So it's kind of, you go back to your computer later in your dorm room or whatever, and you organize the notes that you've been taking. But let's say, okay, so I'm going to go back, and I'm going to create a new document. And I'm writing along. This obviously isn't going to make any sense, but let's just say it was, you know, this notes that I'm taking. So I'm writing along with the teacher, and let's say maybe there's something, or you know, I'm creating something for my English class, and maybe I've got something that yeah,
is that English,
yeah, well, it's
like it's, Klingon, actually.
It's a different kind of English. It's what the kids are. That's how the kids talk. Yeah, it's yeah, so that the parents don't know what they're saying. But let's say I've got an idea, and it's not really fitting into my document. Elements gives you this nice little scratch pad, so you can just write down maybe just bullet points, or oh, there's this one point I need to make and that's going to be a few paragraphs away and I'm just not ready for that there, but I don't want to forget. Because if you're like me, then if you don't write something down, it's sort of gone forever. What's great about Elements, and we have talked about text editors in the past, so you might think, well, I don't know, this looks pretty bare bones and I'm not really sure how it's different than something like Writeroom, which I've talked about in the past that I really like. What's great about this is that you have great export options. So let's say you have a Tumblr account and you want to be regularly publishing post to Tumblr. It has a really nice little Tumblr and Facebook integration
handy.
Right off the bat. Yeah, Facebook actually only posts your profile, and I'm really starting to wonder why apps don't use Facebook pages more often, because I know that they have a capability to let you choose between a page and a profile.
Well, only a few of us, like you and me,
I know,
and Twit, well, use pages. I mean, right?
Yeah. As far as the educational system, I can't imagine. Well, what if a teacher had a page,
well,
or
that would
school
make sense
had a page
too.
Set up?
That would actually make sense.
Yeah, that's a little bit more on the educator's
right.
side. But it's just a little gripe that I have. When you have Facebook integration, profiles and pages would both be nice. But Tumblr's a really cool feature, and that's something that it seems to be new, at least to these text editors, that they would say, hey, you might be writing and wanting
like
to post to Tumblr.
That is new, because, you know, it's had Dropbox integration before. I actually collect Dropbox notepad applications, because the problem with any application that you're writing on the iPad is, how do you get the stuff out of there easily?
Exactly.
And having Dropbox integration just makes it simple. You just write it. You don't worry about it. If you and a lot of students I know want to have a desktop at home that their documents are on, but then they bring it to school and it's automatically on the iPad. This is a great solution. But I love the idea of making it's a blogging device.
Isn't that great? Yeah, you can export as an HTML file or a PDF file, which is good as well. It just gives you some options. And it is $4.99. So $5, you really need to love Dropbox, I think. That is the selling point. If you're a Dropbox user, this is your computer. All of the stuff that you create then will be on your computer later. I mean, that's kind of how you think of it. Again, the two need each other. They are completely ingrained. But you do have export options into other services as well. I like it. I think it works really well for what it does. And I've pretty much explained what it does already. So it's great for kids who are taking notes in class and then need to be a little bit more organized when they get back to their computer.
One of the things everybody says we really want, as long as we're going to have an iPad, is the ability to put our textbooks on an iPad. Students today have 100-pound backpacks that they lug to school, and they're all going to have humps as they get to our age. This is the beginning of that. This is from a company called KNO. I'm presuming they pronounce that no.
Probably like knowledge.
And it is a textbook app. Over 100,000 textbooks, as much as half off list price. And they integrate into the books things like quizzes and so forth. Let me see. I was having trouble. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Installing it on my iPad. So now, It's primarily for education, secondary and college education. It's not going to be you sign in. They say 70,000 textbooks, keep things organized. Just like it's like kind of like the iBook store bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got quizzes. They've got all sorts of interesting features that make this even better than just a plain old textbook. And you kind of have to like that. The ability to notate, to annotate. I think this is really the future of textbooks. We've always wanted this, you know, as kids have talked about bringing in an iPad to school, and what a great way to do a textbook. So it's a free app, but of course they know that you're going to use it to buy their textbooks. Do check with your school to make sure that the books that you need will be available in the No database. I just think this is we're going to see a lot of this. You know, a number of countries, South Korea now says that they're going to put all their secondary school textbooks on an iPad, and most students will get an iPad. This is going to happen more and more. It's what we've been waiting for. A lot of people said, oh, this is great. Now textbooks instead of, you know, I just paid $100 for my son's chemistry, high school chemistry textbook. Oh, now they won't cost $100. No, unfortunately, we're not seeing that kind of savings on these digital textbooks, mostly because I think the cost is not just printing. I mean, you might get some savings.
Yeah.
You know, but the cost really is developing the curriculum and then getting it through all the school boards. You have to get it through the Texas school board, the California school board. That's a lot of work. So textbook publishing is not like regular book publishing. They're expensive because the process that states require them to go through, school boards require them to go through, are really more just
convenience for the user. You don't have to lug around
a bunch of heavy chemistry books. And I like what Noah has done to make these, to take advantage of the digital capabilities, things like flashcards, quizzes and stuff, that the book publishers can build into the books that are make it an interactive solution. That's K-N-O. Let's hope this is the future of textbooks. And, you know, it has all of the verve of a real textbook, right? But you could do some additional things like there's a journal here so I can bookmark that page and then take some notes, that kind of
thing. You always remember when you were in school and you would buy used books whenever you could because they were so much cheaper. As long as you can read what's on the page, that's the way I always went. But every once in a while, I get stuck with a book that had these really annoying notes from whoever had it before me. And it was just like very distracting. Like, why did she circle this word?
Right.
It's just, what was she doing? Who is this person? So it sort of takes a little bit of that distraction out of it, too. One of the most essential, anybody who's taking any sort of math class, essential apps on the iPad, which really should be native, but it isn't, is called Calculator. Now, Calculator for iPads.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's pretty.
I should say off the bat that if you search for Calculator for iPad in the App Store, several apps will come up.
Right.
There's like a Calculator for iPad with a period after.
I have a folder full of calculators.
Well, you're kind of a calculator nerd.
I'm a calculator nerd.
We have talked about calculators in the past on this show. Yeah. This particular app is kind of, if you had to just have one, this would be the one that you would want. So it's Calculator for iPad. That's exactly what it is. And you'll be able to see it's like a little, the icon is there you go. It's got the plus, it's got the HD. So what I want to say right off the bat is it is free to download. However, the ads to upgrade for 99 cents to get the non-ad version are annoying to the point where I was like, I need to pay 99 cents and get rid of them. So I'm going to say this app is $1. Because the free version is annoying. Once that happens, you get this beautiful calculator. As you can see, it's pretty much got everything that you would need in a, you know, up to a certain level of math. I mean, this is really going to cover you. I was having a little bit of fun with some of the numbers that make no sense to me. And the idea is that you can use it as pretty much any sort of a calculator. But when you upgrade, it's like if you ask, well, what are you upgrading to? You get some different views. So, you know, you can kind of change the colors. That is like the ugliest calculator I've ever seen. But, hey, some people might like that little title card type of it's, you know, it's a, maybe if you're feeling bored in your algebra class, this might help you out a little bit type of thing. You can choose to have so here we go. A girly calculator. I'm sure that that's what they were thinking anyway.
Wow.
I personally would not want a pink calculator, but hey.
Some people
no
would.
No judgment.
That's aggressively pink.
Yeah, I know. There's all sorts of good
stuff.
That's
pretty.
This kind of looks like a wooden thing.
Yeah.
You can have the keys make sound or not. I tend to feel the same way with a calculator as I do with my iPad, where I don't need to hear the clicking because I'm already looking at it and I know what I'm hitting.
Right.
But that's just completely a personal preference. You can even change from radians to degrees. Math nerds will know that that's a cool thing to have. Anyway, Calculator for iPad. You've got to have it if you're taking math classes. And I mean, this works for basic arithmetic too. It just gives you a really cool calculator. Again, it's 99 cents because I don't think the free version is worth the annoying ads that will scroll and never stop at the bottom of your page. Got to have that for school.
I think a lot of people who use calculators, I'm going to throw this in as a added benefit.
A rogue app?
A rogue app will like a graphing calculator. If you're in math class, this is a great way to understand algebra and calculus, too. There are a number of great graphing calculators available on the iPad. This is actually called Graphing Calculator HD. Highly recommend it. And it's fun to play with because when you enter equations and you see the graph, it actually really helps you understand what's going on in the equation. So this is a nice app. This is the one that I sent you, though, that I thought would be very useful for any student. You know, one of the things I think an iPad is great for is keeping track of classes, assignments, your calendar. This is called InClass. You see, it's ad-supported. There's an in-app purchase for 99 cents. You can get rid of the ads. Yes, just like yours, you're going to want to do that because, frankly, it's kind of annoying to have these ads for... It's actually distracting to have these ads down here. A student might be working and say, oh, I'd like to see Man in Space.
Well, exactly.
And all of a sudden, they're kind of out of what
I feel like
doing.
The education... App makers should know better. Well, they're trying to
They're giving you a freebie so you can see if it works for you. And I can understand. So maybe for the first week of school, you try this. This is great because it has a calendar. Of course, that's important. But it also has a to-do list, very important, in which you can add a course, a date, and a priority for that particular homework. You can check it off. So when you go here, you know, I haven't added any courses yet, but when you go in here, you'll know what you need to do each and every day. And I think that's really, really important. It also has notes. So this is a unified note-taking application in addition to your to-do list and your calendar. And, of course, in here you can put your teacher. I have Mr. Spaghetti. I'm taking his class on sauces. And you can have you can have information about Mr. Spaghetti, including his office hours and things like that. I think they've done a really nice job. It's a basic day planner with really aimed at – please select one day of the week. All right, he meets
you
on
have
Tuesday.
To. You have to go to Mr. Spaghetti's class on Tuesday.
I have to go to Mr. Spaghetti's class on Tuesday. You have some settings in here. The backup, I wish it supported Dropbox.
Yeah.
Or they had a desktop app. They don't. You can email everything but photos, videos, and audio. So you can email text and stuff. So you can get your data out of it. But I wish they had a better way of doing that. I think this is a very nice job and not very expensive. 99 cents. You even can have different terms in here for, you know, the first term. And I can add a course. I should add a course. Let's have a course. What should I call this course? Sauces 101. Mr. Spaghetti always teaches this every year. And I really look forward to that. I'll give it a nice.
So you're going to cooking school
tomato.
Then?
Tomato. No, no.
Is this your plan B? Culinary? Yeah. The Culinary Academy?
Plan B, just in case. Is it a lecture, a class, a lab, or a seminar? I can add a schedule. I can add Mr. Spaghetti as the instructor, of course. And we'll just add this. We'll say, this class meets every day of the week for 3 minutes right there at 157.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think this is. And then because this is now in my calendar, I'm not only going to not miss the class. But I'm also going to be able to add lecture notes right to that class and add to-dos, you know, assignments.
Wow, this is for a hyper-organized student.
You know, I wish I'd had something like this. And students nowadays, when you get into middle school, they actually give you a paper day planner, mm-hmm. really trying to teach you how to do that stuff. This is something that you could use on your iPad, carry with you. My only negative on this, I wish, and please, just put Dropbox integration in there. Every app should have Dropbox in it.
Yeah.
And then that way, or a desktop app that it could sync with. But what you want is you want to be able to just get it out of the iPad in case you lose it.
Finally, I just want to quickly mention something that's near and dear to all of our hearts, and that is
good grammar.
I got good
you
grammar.
You got good
Leo.
Grammar.
Say it
you,
right.
You are amazing.
I think grammar is fascinating. And we know that it's not just kids who are trying to figure out how spelling and grammar. We read a blog post from esteemed peers every day. And I'm like, that's
attention.
Not really what begging the question means. You know, that sort of thing. You know what I mean. Anyway, this is a somewhat basic grammar app. It's called Grammar App HD. So you can remember that. And it is exactly what you think it'll be. So let's go into punctuation rules here. Okay, ellipses. What are some of the rules of ellipses? So it tells you a little bit about it, and then you can go into lessons. So you read. Okay, so this is how the ellipsis rules work, and then you choose the correct sentence type of thing. You can do the same thing for, you know, sometimes people are like, why do some people use hyphens and not? And I think that it's important to remember that, and I'm totally guilty of this too when I'm using a blog, for example, as kind of a creative writing outlet, is that some of these rules that we all learned in school, you take liberties with in your life because you're trying to use
colloquial.
Your authentic voice.
Yes, exactly.
But there
That's
is,
appropriate.
Yeah, but there is, when you're learning your grammar rules... There are rights and wrongs. There are actually rules.
Yes.
And I think it's important to know those rules so that you know what liberties you can take later. You've got writing rules. You've got basic grammar. when are italics appropriate, for example, that sort of thing. I like this grammar app. It's pretty rudimentary, but I think that it is definitely great for anybody who's in the age group where they're trying to master this stuff. And it's also just a good reminder for some people who might need it. I am not calling out anybody. And then you can test your progress as well. As you continue to do the lessons, it'll give you a sense of how you're doing, what you're stuck on. You obviously don't know how parentheses work correctly, and so on.
You do not know how preferences work.
So those are just a few of the...
I got a good book for you bloggers.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know the elements of style, the classic...
Did you say you bloggers? I never blog.
Well, that's right. You ought to start blogging a little
bit
more. The elements of style, the classic book, Struck in White, kind of the fundamentals of grammar and style, and a wonderful book, but it's not been updated in some years. It was written at the turn of the century. This is it, The Elements of Effing Style. It is a useful book. I actually bought this so I could learn.
The Elements of Ficking Style.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
Fracking style. Very helpful book for those who wish to blog better.
I love that. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
So thank you. What was his name again?
Anthony.
Great suggestion. I mean,
really
it is back to school time.
Why didn't we think of that? Back to school. It couldn't be more timely. So again, these are just a few of the many educational apps. We've talked about them a little bit in the past. I think right around this time last year. But it's a really, really good category to revisit on a regular basis, obviously, because so many schools and students of all ages are using iPads more and more just to keep track of what they're learning. What is that?
It's The Elements of Fudging Style. I knew I got that wrong. This is Jersey's Finest Cream Fudge.
Hello.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hello, little friend.
I'm
going to
give you this while you have a little fudge.
Oh, dear.
While I talk about going to my PC. I've decided that from now on, when I do the ads...
I will eat chocolate.
You get a chocolate break. Congratulations.
best life.
Would you like a candy, ladies and gentlemen at home here? Please have a little fudge.
This
thanks
fudge
to
looks...
our visitor from the Channel Isles.
Thank you.
Brought that by. Mm. And he also bought black butter. I don't know about that. This show brought to you by our friends at Citrix, who do the great goat... How is that? Is that good?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Go
to my PC. You can access your computer from anywhere on your iPad. Windows or Mac is something a little weird when you're on your iPad. You're going down, you know, you're at the pool or you're, you know, at the hotel or the airport or just relaxing in your Barca lounger and you fire up your iPad and there's a Windows interface on there. You can do everything you could do at work. You can mouse around. You can send and receive email, run any program. Yes, Windows programs. Access any network resource just like you were at your office PC, for instance. Windows or Mac. And the iPad app is free, so that's really cool. In fact, the whole thing is free for the next 30 days. If you visit gotomypc.com and click the Try It Free button. There you go, that little orange button there. And then enter in the promo code just four letters, IPAD. IPAD. When you try it for free for 30 days, I think you'll see how convenient it is to be able to leave work early, to hit the road, to just, you know, get a little work done at home. It's nice to clear out the inbox before you show up, especially during vacations. And doing it on your iPad is spectacular. Go to mypc.com, click the Try It Free button, use the offer code iPad. And we thank Citrix, the folks who make it, for their support of iPad today. By the way, 128-bit SSL. So you can, you know, use the Wi-Fi on your iPad and open access spot and be completely secure. In fact, if you wanted to do secure surfing on your iPad, that's one way to do it, is to have a GoToMyPC set up at your office, connect to it, and then surf through your office computer. Clever, right?
I think our timing is spot on because just as you finished that, I finished the last of the fudge that was wedged in one of my molars. Oh, man, that was good.
They call this 1 minute fudge. Is it really good?
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Mm.
Wow. Just a quick reminder that if you're not... now I've got a lot of energy.
I've just made a friend.
I no longer am angry with you, Leo.
No, I know. I can tell.
Everything's great.
I had to make up.
Just a quick reminder that for our live viewers, you know when we record this, but if you're not watching live, we'd always like you to join us live when you can. Mm-hmm. We record the show at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays. That's 4:30 Eastern. If you have app ideas of your own, like Anthony, you can always call us at 757-504-IPAD or write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. It's interesting, when we were talking about some of our back-to-school apps earlier, someone in the chat room had mentioned a company called Inkling, which is awesome because I was actually going to mention Inkling myself.
I had an inkling you would say that.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, we're all on the same page, apparently, because Inkling is a Bay Area company that's just raised $17 million
wow.
to bring textbooks to the iPad. So it kind of ties into what you were talking about earlier. They actually have deals with McGraw-Hill and Pearson. And the whole idea is rebuilding college textbooks so that... It's not just, okay, let's put it in form where it looks like an ebook. It's more of an interactive type of experience.
It's
which
just
is,
what Noah's doing, yeah.
Yeah, which is obviously why you go, $17 million, my goodness, what the heck? There's a lot of work that goes into making an iPad a multimedia experience versus just text on paper with some photos.
It's interesting because Inkling and No are the two big competitors
right.
in this space. No just raised $46 million
Whoa.
In its round of funding. So it's actually...
This is a big market.
Well, and it's exciting because I don't care which one wins, but the fact that there is competition and it's happening and it's stirring, I think is good for students.
Well, and let's not forget Push Pop Press that Facebook bought. They were the ones who made the Al Gore app and the name is escaping me, Our Choice.
Yeah, that was
and
a
that
great
was
app.
And that was an amazing app.
That
and they were
really
the people
nice.
Who... So it's kind of hard to know what Facebook's going to do with that whole ebook company in the long run because I think it was more of a talent acquisition than anything else.
Right.
But hopefully they won't just let it die because it was a really cool idea. It just goes to show that... A lot of people are working in the space. There's obviously a demand for it. And sooner than later, this is really how most of our textbooks are going to live.
I hope so.
I do too.
You know, there's a little debate over the Inkling approach versus the No approach. K&O, the company we were talking about earlier, decided that they wanted to duplicate page numbers and everything so that a professor could say to people who had the physical book or the iPad book, page 600 to be the same page.
Right.
So they added their interactivity kind of as a separate layer from the textbook itself. So it really, as you saw, reproduces the textbook. Inkling is going to, as you said, do something that's a lot more interactive.
Yes.
And we'll see which one wins. They're two different approaches.
Reimagining.
Yeah.
I think also for... I mean, I say professors because, I don't know, I guess college was the last time I was in school, so this is as far back as I go.
Hey,
but
professor.
Any teacher, especially if you've been doing it for a while, yes, textbooks get updated, but it's like some teachers, this is a learning curve for them as well.
Right.
It's like all the students have iPads, I just have this book, are we all going to be speaking the same language? So it is important to be able to say, page 600, let's all get on that page, however you end up doing it. There is an organization, a nonprofit organization, called Teach for America, Leo.
I know about them well. I love
them.
Do
you?
Yeah, I think you're a great group.
So they are actually working with Apple, the company, to help people donate their iPads, which then Teach for America... So
they'll get a lot of iPad 1s probably, right?
That would be... Unless for some reason you have the good fortune to have...
Extra
a second iPad 2 and you want to donate your first one. I'm not ready to do that. But my first gen iPad would have been a great contender for this. The idea with Teach for America is they help place often just out of college graduates, people who are certainly have the potential to be really good teachers in school education systems that are performing under their potential.
Like the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps for teachers. And I think it's such a good idea.
Really good idea. Yeah. And Teach for America, what you do is they're actually the people that are going to be dispersing these iPads into places that need it most. But you don't even really need to know much about them because you can actually take them into an Apple retail store and say, this is what I want to do with this.
Let Apple
I've
do
heard
it.
About this program. And Apple will take it from there because they're working directly with the Teach for America folks. This is teachforamerica.org. If you want to know more about them, they've got a really great website and obviously a really good mission. And it's we don't all have iPads laying around, but if for whatever reason you do, I can't think of a much better way to make sure that someone who really needs it gets it than something like this.
Good group. Great.
Very
group.
Good group.
Highly recommended.
So we've talked very little about jailbroken apps in the past.
You know, should we do more of that? I'd love to hear from people.
Once in a while, you know, one of the weeks that you were gone and Tom filled in for you, he had a bunch of jailbroken apps, and it was very popular. Everyone said, this is great.
We could do that. I don't mind jailbreaking.
But then the problem is that then the apps are flaky because when Apple updates, then people say, well, why isn't this working anymore? And it becomes this whole, well, it's another ecosystem that Apple doesn't support, and it can be janky.
I think I kind of consciously made a decision to make this more mainstream, and the vast majority, most of the people who watch Twit Live do things like this, but the vast majority of people don't hack their iPads.
Right.
They don't jailbreak them. We actually jailbroke an iPad on the air.
We did, because we wanted to show iOS 5.
But no, even before that, we did the one-click jailbreaking, and I did it on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
But I always end up going back because, exactly, as you say, the updates, you don't get the updates. You start to get left behind. And I've never found something in the Cydia store or any of these third-party stores that was so compelling that I had to have it.
Yeah.
There might be some specific uses like DemoGod or you want to do tethering. But for the most part, I think the apps that you want are, frankly, on unjailbroken apps.
We did get we got a couple of tips about an app called iUsers. So it's like little I, big users. Have you heard of this?
No, what is that?
Well, it's I want to talk about it because I figured, especially for a household that has more than one student and maybe just one iPad, the multiple profiles thing, which Apple has never given us.
This is something we need.
And it's something that we need. And everyone, well, not everybody, but anybody who's sharing an iPad would really like their own profile if they were able to have it, right? iUsers will allow this. Now, it's limited. And from everything that I've read, I didn't install it because I don't need it. People have mixed results with it. And it seems that the techier you are, the more you can look past how it might be a little crashy. This is it in
Should
news.
I send it to one or two here? Oh, you got the video. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So this is actually setting up a test user from within an iPad that already has. You don't need to play that audio, Chad.
It's very dramatic.
I don't think it was their
the
own
Franceschi
composition.
Brothers put it on there, yes.
Exactly. So this is...
That's a great
back to the video,
idea.
Yeah, so there... You
it is one thing we really needed, the ability to choose to have different users.
Exactly. So
okay, that's a reason to jailbreak.
And what this will do is it will not change the apps that are in the collection, but it will remember the way that you've arranged them. So that's already pretty helpful.
So you have the same apps.
You have the same apps, but...
Do you have your same data space or do you have separate data spaces? That's the real key. See, when you have different logins on a computer, you still have access to the same apps.
Right.
But what you want is your own document space so that you can't see the other guy's documents, he can't see yours. The way the apps are set up and the preferences are saved are unique to each user. That's the kind of thing you
this
want.
This is not that sophisticated. This is more like when you give me the iPad and I sign it as myself,
the way you wanted it.
Twitter remembers my credentials, so
okay.
I'm not looking at your Twitter stream.
Good. That's a start.
And if I have a folder called movie apps that you never want to see,
right?
They can be arranged differently. So right. it's for a household where people trust each other, you know, there's not a lot of to ruin your Angry Bird score type of a thing going on.
Right.
This could be good, but again, it's for people who are comfortable with the whole jailbreaking experience. And as a parent, you may or may not want your kids to even go there. So I'll leave it up to you.
It's not illegal to jailbreak your Mac. It's completely allowed to do. Apple's not thrilled about it, but in fact, you can always restore it back to its original state. So it's not going to void your warranty. Even after Apple said it might, it won't. But it does perhaps impinge on your security because you've effectively told your kids and anybody else who uses your iPad that they can download apps from places besides Apple. That's what jailbreaking means. And so there's always the risk that there may be something on those stores that has some malware in it, something like that.
Exactly. We did get a tweet from Romart628 who asked, is there a way to play videos on my iPhone and display them on my iPad too? I want to do this when I'm away from Wi-Fi, but I have data. So the idea that they have it, that Romort has, is I've got an iPhone and an iPad. I've got 3G. I don't have a 3G iPad. And I want to be able to use AirPlay to display to my iPad. I don't think that's possible because you need an Apple TV. Or at Airport Express.
I think that's the case. I don't think that's another example of something you probably could do if you jailbroke. But I don't know of a way to do it without.
I even looked through some forums about this topic just to see if there was like a weird way to put it together. Nobody had anything that made any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously Apple doesn't want this or else you'd never get a 3G iPad.
Yep. Never mind.
Yeah. So
can't do it.
Sorry. At this point, it's not going to happen.
Sorry. Can't do it.
Maybe someday in the future, but no, it's...
There is an app, according to Colin, who's sitting right over here. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
Called AirView that makes your app iPad an AirPlay client. So that means that you could AirPlay to your... See, that's what you want.
But
now, is that a jailbreak
only?
All right. Here we go. We got it.
Okay.
Colin's got it.
All right.
Waiting for an AirPlay connection. So, whoa.
Whoa.
You didn't want that, did
good
you?
Good grief. Look at that first gen iPad. It's so thick.
It's so thick. It doesn't.
It's so quaint.
So what's going on here? We're.
It's just waiting for.
For me to AirPlay to it.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Are we on this? What network are you on? Production.
Probably.
All right. Well, let's see. So if I pick a video from.
But we're on a Wi-Fi network. That's different than.
Well, if we're on the same network.
Well, if you're nerdy enough, you could create a ad hoc.
A little hotspot. Yeah.
We could do that, but generally you want to be on the same network. I only have audio, unfortunately. So, but let's try it with audio. So, I'm playing something from Bass Nectar. You like Bass Nectar?
I like Bass Nectar. Yeah. I'm into dubstep.
I know you're
a
big dubstep fan.
Yeah.
Where's
in fact, Darren Kitchen told me about Bass Nectar.
Where's my? There we go. No.
Might not be on
but we're not on the same network. So, in theory, because this is waiting for an AirPlay connection. We could play to it from an iPhone. That's good. That's called AirView. All right.
I still feel there like I like that iPaddle sticker. That's kind of fun. Good stuff, Colin. I still feel like this particular question was about data connection. So it's...
You think that that's not what they wanted to do?
Well, I just... It seems like this is really good for two iPads or an iPhone and an iPad on the same Wi-Fi connection.
Right.
But I'd like to see it work on 3G well.
Oh, he was trying to...
He's got an iPhone that's got
tethering.
Data. Kind of. Yes. Exactly. Or to be able to... yes. Well, it's not just tethering, but let's just use
just
my iPhone, but I want the iPad.
No, well, see, AirPlay requires you to be on the same network. He could create an ad hoc network, as Colin said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so,
you know, I will take this on for next week.
Will you?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to have to remind you because you won't
actually
do it.
You're going to have to give me your iPhone, too.
I don't want it. Well, yeah, you don't have an
iPhone. I don't have an iPhone.
This is going to be a fun project.
Maybe I'll get an iPhone.
Like Leo said earlier in the show, we got a plethora of duh tips this week.
There's a duh tip.
Just bust out with the duh tips every once in a while.
Another duh tip. What is a duh tip?
A duh tip is a tip for the iPad, which some of you would say... Duh. Everybody knows how to do that.
Duh.
But a small portion of people might go, oh my gosh, I had no idea you could do this. And therefore, it is worth mentioning.
Right.
First duh tip is from, well, it's from Anonymous, but it's a good one.
Hey, y'all. I have a duh tip for you. When I first started using Instagram and Twitter and I would scroll down through the feeds and want to get back up to the top, there was no return to the top button. And I found that by touching the time... and the bar at the very top, it would return you back to the very beginning on anything, whether in an app or in a browser or whatever. It's a real quick, get me back to the top of the page button.
Truer words have never been spoken. It's the only way to use an iPad. So if I'm
how
in
do
my
do
Twitter
that?
Screen,
I don't even know this. I'm a dar.
No, you're not, you know how to use this. It's just that she explained it, and you're so used to...
Just doing it.
Let's say I'm scrolled all the way down to my Twitter
screen. Now how do I get back
so
up to
far,
the top?
And now I want to go back. You don't actually have to do any of that. You just touch, like she said, the time of day.
Most apps, that works.
And you're all the way back.
Yeah, like that. That's actually part of Apple's guidelines. They're supposed to do that.
For many people, a very obvious way to navigate around. And once you start using it, you wonder why you ever scrolled again.
And yet, I don't think it's something that you would guess.
So I think people, if they haven't been taught that works,
might just try it.
Touch the time by accident and
see
go,
what happens.
Ah, I went all the way to the top. Oh my gosh, I've unlocked some Easter egg on the iPad. By the way, I just want to take this opportunity to mention that something very similar is something that I was doing for a long time where I'm like
You're
in
scrolling,
page seven.
Scrolling.
And I wanted to go back to page one. I've scrolled all the way to the end of my iPad.
You didn't push the home button. You would scroll back?
I would scroll back, and nobody told me until finally somebody, I think, saw me scrolling and was like, poor Sarah, you just pressed the home button.
It takes you all the way back.
So you at least go to the beginning. So you can't say, like, quick to page three, at least not yet, but that will help you if you... What it helps me with a lot is when I'm looking for an app and I'm like, I just don't know where it is. I'm just going to go search.
Start over. And that's what I do.
That's
too.
A nice little shortcut.
So you
shortcut.
See what she did? She pressed the home button and then swipe to the right to get to the search.
Yeah, because once you're home, that's your quick search. So it really works out well. And I felt like a really big duh person for not knowing that.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. Next time, let us know what
Nebraska
your name is.
Brian.
Yes.
Has a tip for us.
He does.
Hey, this is Brian from Nebraska. A quick little duh tip. If you're occasionally having an app that is confused or locked up or something, sometimes you can just double-click that home button and delete it from your multitasking bar down below. It must do something to clear the memory of wherever it was confused at, because many times you can just then reopen the app and you're good to go. Sure. So instead of deleting the app completely and re-downloading all the data or whatever it is, sometimes you can just pop it off of the multitasking bar down below.
It's a force quit.
It's a force quit.
Yep.
I hope I hope most of you know about how you can kill an app that's acting strange or has become unresponsive. If you don't, let's say I've got a bunch of stuff running. Let's say Twitter is just giving me a lot of grief. So what I do is I, you know, because it's open in the background, right? Or I was just there. You go ahead and open it in your dock. You hold almost as if you were going to move it around, but because it's in your dock, you get these little minus signals, which of course mean that you can shut it out. Now, what I did is I didn't just remove Twitter, the app, from my iPad. I just killed it running in the background. So at this point, I can go ahead and go back to my home screen. It's in my favorites folder. Launch it again. And more time, almost every time I've ever done this, and it doesn't happen that often. I don't have, or I at least don't use apps that often that are giving me problems, but it does happen. Every so often it does happen. And almost always, this is the only fix you really need. You don't need to delete an app and reinstall it. I mean, I have done that in extreme cases a couple of times.
Yep.
But almost always, this is as far as you need to go. To get that app working again. Because, I mean, these are little programs. They do sometimes get confused and just kind of stop working, or they get muddly. So thank you, Nebraska Brian. It's a very good tip. And, yeah, you shouldn't have to be deleting apps and reinstalling them in the most extreme cases. But not as often. If you're doing that once a week, try this instead.
Yes, indeed. And finally,
we got an email from John in... The New Jersey people are going to know how to say this.
Piscataway. I know how to say that.
Really? Oh, have you been there?
Yeah. I'm in the Piscataway.
Is it on the ocean or near Pennsylvania? Or
that's Punxsutawney you're thinking of.
I don't.
Piscataway.
I'm just thinking of New Jersey on a map. Some of it's on the ocean. So
yes.
Piscataway. It's a great name. Reminds me of Pisco Sour. I wonder if they drink a lot of those there.
Oh, I love Pisco Sours.
Me too.
Those are from Argentina and Chile and
Peru.
Peru.
I think they're actually Peruvian.
Is it a Peruvian drink?
I think it is. But you can get them all over. You can get them. They're very hip in San Francisco right now.
Really? Is that the drink in San Francisco?
Well, it's one of them.
Well, be darned.
You know, raw egg. It's, you know.
Oh, is there raw egg in there?
You're taking a little.
Oh, there's alcohol in it.
You never know. Anyway, John is a teacher, and he said, he's a seventh grade math teacher, in fact, and he said he loves apps that, this is in response to our accessibility apps episode last week, and he said, you know, education apps often are for elementary school aged people. You know, it's almost as if you think, oh, children, but obviously people of all ages are in school for a variety of reasons. And he said that he found an app that he really, really likes. It's called Algebra Touch. So I went ahead and downloaded it.
This is great.
And, you know, I was quite the algebra whiz back in the day.
Were you?
I was.
You loved to integrate equations and things like that?
I loved algebra.
You were brilliant at
that. Well, you know, in geometry and trig and stuff.
I loved it too.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what I've forgotten, because I downloaded Algebra Touch and I started to fool around the stuff. And
well,
I was like,
it doesn't, let's be honest, come up a
basic
lot
equation.
In conversation.
No. Or in practice.
Right.
I mean, are you doing a lot of
a lot
X
of
equals?
No.
Not a lot.
No.
But, and I'm in the basic equations area of Algebra Touch right
minus
now.
Four.
Here's what's great about this is
two.
I think that a lot of students, it's not that they don't get math. It's that an equation, you look at it and it just, you need to see it a different way. It's almost like kids who aren't good readers, they need to be taught in a different way than most kids learn to read. And it's not because they don't have the skills, they just need to learn differently. So this is great.
Can you actually drag the number, the factors around and stuff, or no?
Oh,
you can.
Yeah.
So I can drag the three.
What it does is it gives you different visuals. So it's like 3x, I don't know. Remember, it's 3 times
right.
x, and x has not been assigned a value yet, type
right.
of a thing. So, yeah, and you can move things around.
You can.
Actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Super
that
cool.
That really teaches you what's going on.
And
that's fantastic.
Totally. And it's, again, I'm looking at something that's sort of simple. But this is a really cool app. And if you get stuck...
I wish I had this for Henry during Algebra 2. This would have been
right.
great.
It'll give you... So it'll... If you're like, I'm stuck, please show me. And this is...
Well, you pretty much screwed up that equation.
Well...
Now move the 4 over.
You screwed it up.
I did. You yeah. screwed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you add 4 and 2 and simplify there?
Anyway... Right. So as you go on, 2 plus
x
4 is 6.
Yay!
X equals 3. And then, how do I do this?
There you go. Nice job. Then simplify that.
I'm not simplifying it, am
yeah,
I?
Yeah, now you have to take the 2 out. There you go. No. Nuh-uh.
But
2
I want
times 3. You want to go back to 2 times 3.
I do.
Cancel the 2. Yep. Click the 6.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And now,
I don't know.
There you
Yay!
Go.
See?
That's
See
cool.
how happy I just got?
That is
with
really,
a really
great.
Simple algebra problem.
No, but you know what? That's a hard thing to teach kids. But that, dragging it around like that, I think would be a good way to learn that.
Well, especially, you know, the pencil and the, I remember.
I had to teach Henry all that, last year. And this would have made it much easier. I wish I'd had this.
Much easier. It's great. So there's an explanation area of Algebra Touch. And then again, there's practice areas, which I was in. If you need to save sessions, you can do that. I actually saved a sort of silly session. You can actually create equations.
That's
so this
great.
Would be great, you know, a teacher or a parent who is like, all right, I'm going to put this on the paper and I need you to solve it. And it also just gives, besides the fact that you don't have to waste a bunch of paper and do a lot of erasing, which of course math people know. I mean, you just can't do this stuff with a pen unless you're like a total genius.
Now, you know who does use this? I was saying it doesn't come up a lot, but if you're a programmer, use that all the time, especially if you're doing graphics. That's the kind of thing graphics programmers use all the time.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, the Wolfram Alpha people make a series of applications for students, and they have a Wolfram Alpha algebra courses system. I have it up right here that does... This is not, I have to say, not as slick, but it has the same idea of doing all this stuff. It's a fancy calculator, but also can teach you by steps using Wolfram Alpha how to solve equations, formulas, and so forth. So, and they have this in a number of different areas. So there are many tools, and I think this is where the iPad really is shining for teaching. There's really some stuff you can do. That you can really learn. And we were talking about graphing calculators, very useful for stuff like that as well.
I think it's also, as somebody who might be struggling to get some mathematical concepts down, there is something about, I've wasted all this paper. I've done it so many times. I'm spent. I give up.
Right.
And this kind of, it's like you can get a clean slate just by, you know, just a little touch of a button. And I think it helps people go, okay, let's start over. It's almost like a game.
Yeah.
A little bit more
yeah.
of that game element going on. Algebra Touch, just want to mention, $2.99, so $3. And it goes from
I love that.
Pretty simple algebra to
I love that.
To getting into more...
What a neat idea.
Yeah, more integrated. So that was John from Piscataway, New Jersey's suggestion.
Piscataway.
Thank you, John. It's always great to get a suggestion from a teacher who says, this is an app that I love and I use it regularly. Okay, we got one more voicemail from Steve, who needs a little convincing on something. Take it away, Steve.
Hey, Leo and Sarah. This is Steve, listening from New Hampshire. And I was just, you know, watching your latest show on August 11th, and you were talking about the Facebook Messenger app. And I understand how important that could be for possibly for the iPad, because there's no
Facebook.
Facebook app for the iPad yet, at least. But in terms of, like, the iPhone, I'm not sure. Do you have an example or use of why I would choose that over the normal Facebook app and using the Messenger built right into that? Love the show. Back to there.
Bye. So the reason...
What's the reason?
Well, okay. Here's the reason. fudge.
Good fudge, huh?
It's almost like... This is like a math equation. Like, try to talk
while
eating
fudge
and get it right.
Mm-hmm.
The deal with Facebook is, yes, there is chat integration into even something like Friendly, which is the number one... Facebook alternative
which
app.
Which we showed last week.
There is chat integrated into that, but the whole idea behind Facebook Messenger is that you don't need to use the whole Facebook experience.
It's basically replacing text messaging.
That's exactly what it is.
Or the BlackBerry Messenger, which is what its real competitor is.
Hopefully
so you're using it.
Awful
so you are actually
using
it.
This is all pretty G-rated. Some of my messages are kind of weird, but my friends. But yeah, so I'm going to Vegas this weekend with a group. We've got a nice little Facebook group of stuff we're going to do. MG and I talk on Facebook Messenger all the time. It's totally replaced Beluga for us.
Really?
Yeah, Tom sent me a link last week's show.
Yeah, great recording of Bills.
Jonathan Colton has a different version of it.
About that Destiny's Child.
By the way, that song was in my head for solid 4 days.
It's an earworm.
Yeah, it is. But the idea is that if I'm going to be messaging back and forth between either a group of people and sharing text and pictures or just one person back and forth, I don't need to be in Facebook at all.
Right.
This is a Facebook product.
It's a lightweight.
Yeah. And Facebook realizes that people want to chat back and forth, and they don't need to have all of their other options as well. They don't need to see a news feed. I just want to tell Leo something, and I don't want to use my text plan. So that's why Facebook Messenger exists outside of Facebook itself. Even though you can chat within Facebook, you just have two options. I prefer this to chatting within Facebook, personally.
Which is funny, because that's an iPhone app, isn't it?
Or yes.
That's not even an iPad native app.
Yeah, this is just blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use it on your iPhone?
Totally.
That's where you use it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I use it both places because I don't have an SMS capability on my iPad.
Ah, that's a good point.
So it's like, don't even SMS me because my phone might not be in front of me.
Yeah.
I want them to all speak the same language. Darn it.
Dang nation.
A reminder, you can always email us. You can send us videos. You can send us voicemails. We love hearing from you. Thank you so much to everybody. We love getting
fudge
people who come visit us in our studio. Yep.
Anything you want to send us.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Get your app cap on.
All right.
I always forget. If somebody would get... Liz, you brought me an app cap? It's always fun. You never know what Liz is going to bring me for a hat. So I'll wear that in a moment.
I always start every day on a diet. And then I come to work. And then I eat fudge.
Yeah, me too. I have good intentions until I get here. I want to talk a little bit about Netflix.com. My friends, you all know about Netflix. We are big fans here at the Twit Brick House of Netflix. We all have it. We all use it. We all love it. In fact, I've often wondered, why do I even do ads for Netflix? Everybody loves Netflix. Well, maybe you don't have it yet. Maybe you've not seen it on the iPad. I have to say, this is a really great solution for the iPad. A nice iPad interface. You can go by genre. You can go search, of course. Let's see. Somebody was telling me about a movie called Catfish. Let me just see if this is on Instant. This is what's great about
this. It's that other Facebook movie.
Yeah.
But it's the documentary rather than the Aaron Sorkin.
It's a documentary, yeah. Anyway, they don't have it on streaming, but I can probably get the DVD of it. These are suggestions. But here's the beauty of this.
Winner's Bone is so good. I watched that again the other night.
Oh, you like that?
Oh, man. It was good.
I hate that movie.
Why?
It's creepy.
Well, but it's...
Let's watch it again. What do you say?
What?
Nothing.
You weren't supposed to see me yet, Chad.
Nothing. I didn't see it. So, look, I'm watching this movie. Winner's Bone. It's not really running that fast, is it? That was a fast movie. It's over now. Okay.
Well, you're at the end or something.
Something weird happened there. Let's start that over again. This is the beauty of it. When you have an iPad, you now have a mobile entertainment device that you can watch movies on. You can watch TV shows. Mad Men's on there. Hey, I can see myself. Glee's on there. It is really fantastic. And at $7.99 a month, there is no better choice for your entertainment dollar. I'm just a big fan. Now, if you have it already, you know about it. I don't have to tell you anything about it. If you don't have it, will you do me a favor? Tell a friend. Get it. And if you do have it, tell a friend, your neighbor, your grandma. Let her know that Netflix exists and you can try it for free for 30 days. Netflix.com/twit. Winner's Bone, I just creeped me out.
Well, it is a creepy movie. It's just interesting that...
The acting is good.
People... Very good.
Yeah.
They're just mean.
But they don't
Everyone's
like them.
Everyone's mean.
I don't like them.
And they're all related.
I don't like them.
They don't like each other. And, they're all sort of cousins or whatever.
I think you're wearing my hat.
That might be the case. No, your hat is really cute. It's
You know where I got this?
It's right on the tippy top.
In Petersburg, Russia.
Did you wash it too hot after you bought it?
No, it never fit. Then Russians have small heads.
Thank you, Liz.
People don't know
Liz
this.
Gave me an adorable hat, which I love. Although it's an interesting choice for summer.
You know what I got that?
Where?
Streets of New York.
Yeah, in the winter, yeah,
In the winter. It was very cold.
Yeah, it makes your head really warm.
It's warm, isn't it?
Yes.
Plus, you get little bear ears, which is cute.
Yeah.
Very cute. So let's do our app cap. We wear these silly hats to honor an application. Each week, an application we think is very important. And you, I think, have a beaut.
I do. Now, I have to give credit to Apple's very own App Store because this was the iPad app of the week.
Now, normally we wouldn't do this, but this is so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, and it's from Nick Software, which we love.
Exactly. It's called Snapseed. And I actually overlooked it originally because Snapseed does not sound like a photography app to
me. It does not.
I'm not really sure what it means,
yes,
but I'm sure that they've got their reasons. But I love photography apps, and I try them all because one of the most fun things I have on the iPad, even though the iPad itself doesn't take the best pictures in the world, you import some photos, and then I can play around all day making them, you know, HDR, whatever. So
Nick, NIK makes the best Photoshop plugins out there. They're really fantastic, and they've taken a lot of that power, and they've put it in this inexpensive app on the iPad.
It's beautiful. It can even, if you can get them into your iPad, it can even handle raw images and be able to add effects to them and spit them back out still as raw.
Oh, so that's something. See, I'm tempted. I'm thinking I could get the images. I could just import them to my iPad, and then as I'm on the train or on the plane, I can work on these.
Exactly.
In a very nice, and there's something about touch that really is nice for this.
If you think of it, it's almost like a photographer's work table.
Yeah.
This is a picture I took on Instagram. You can tell because it's kind of a crappy thing. These are my mom's two new kittens.
That's a great picture.
Aren't they adorable?
Love it.
Well, the quality of it isn't great, but this is a picture I took, and there's an Instagram filter on it because you can see that you can see
something going on.
Yeah, it's a little bit cuter than it was just straight out of the iPad. But at this point, I've already cropped it, but I've got black and white, vintage film options, drama, or something like center focus. So what's neat about this is you can see that it's done that cool thing where, it's the tilt shift thing that all the cool kids are doing these days. Like, if I want Bessie to be the focal point of the picture,
nice job on that,
and have
too.
Zephyr just kind of fade away, that's what she would want. Or the opposite, and choose how much is going to be blurred. And by the way, what Snapseed does that, it took me a little while to get this, but once I did, it became very intuitive, is in a variety of the filters that you can choose from, you've got like center size and filter strength. So let's say I say, I love the way this looks, but it's just a little too strong. I want there to be much more of a blur that isn't so dramatic. Then I use back and forth on the picture itself. And as you can see, the percentage is changing without actually using a slider. And down on the bottom, it lets me know what I'm doing. I also have different styles. So I can go into like fog mode or have like a light shadowy type thing, make it a lot darker and ominous type thing. The compare button is great because I can be like, wait, how did it start? It started like this. Do I like this?
Nice.
What am I, is there something in the middle that I would prefer to have? I can undo a change. I can apply the changes, or I could just go back and start where I started from the beginning. You obviously have frames. I'm not so big on frames, but there are a lot of frames for people who like that kind of thing. And then again, you've got
your
choices.
They're neat frames, though. They're not like just plain old frames.
No, they're cool. It's a certain style. You can choose your frame width and your offset. This is actually what I like the most about this app, is once you start playing around with your different styles, the best part is let's click and see what my choices are. Like, I've got center size, texture strength, saturation, brightness. And then once I'm in brightness, then I can play with my brightness. Once I'm in texture strength, I can play with that. That didn't change so much, in this particular picture, but the center size definitely does. Ooh, that already looks way cooler. It's got this whole different feel.
I'd look at black and white. They have some really great black and white converters in here, too.
Yeah, they do.
Nick is famous for their silver effects black and white converter. Just gorgeous.
There's also one more thing, and this is I don't know of any other iPad app that does this, at least not as cool. This is selective adjust. So let's say you have a picture. This is kind of a weird example, but we'll do our best here. I'm going to go ahead and add this area of Zephyr the cat's face to selectively adjust. And I'm going to go with brightness. Now, I'm going to go ahead and increase the brightness just on his face. Um, mm, You know, I think it's because it's black. It doesn't really look any different. That was sort of a dumb idea.
It's bright black.
You see what I mean? Yeah,
it's like, black
I've
you ever saw.
I'm changing
yeah.
black. Oh, how would I explain this well? This is actually a really cool feature, so I don't want to make it seem like it's not cool. So here's what's going on is like, oh, my God, you're making the cat red. This is actually just telling you.
That's the region.
Yeah, it's giving you the region, and it helps to try not to bleed beyond that region. Because it's trying to be smart. Like, let's say right. you wanted to lighten up somebody's face in a picture, right. but you wanted nothing else to get, like, too light. And
right. iPhoto really
iPhoto has issues with this. It's like, it'll brighten up everything, right. but the selective area sometimes is really
this
important.
This is very, very sophisticated. Of course, you'd expect that from Nick Software. They really know what they're doing.
Totally. I'll show yeah. you actually one. There's one other picture that this worked out really well in. So this is a picture of MG and I on a vacation. And I used selective adjust.
What a vacation.
I know. Well, this is our natural habitat, pretty yeah. much. But this particular picture,
it's
I thought was cute.
Parallel play.
right. I thought it was cute because it's like, oh, look That's at us. Adorable. Such nerds. And that was a yeah. self-portrait, by the way. So, I mean, we really are
yes,
even
you did
nerdier.
It on purpose. Yes.
But our iPads were kind of in the shadow. So I used selective adjust to just brighten up the iPads themselves rather than the entire, see? So I'm like,
wow.
yeah. So now you get, that's a better example of how you can use something like that. Anyway, this is Snapseed. It's $4.99.
I just bought
so
it.
So make sure that you're a see, all right.
I just bought it. Yeah. I'm just loving it.
Again, it does a lot of the same stuff you might already be used to apps doing, but it does it in a different way, and it has a couple features that I haven't seen from anybody else yet. So $4.99, Snapseed. Get it if it looks good to you. Looked yep. good to me.
You look good to me in that.
Well, you look good to me in your hat that's very snug.
I'd like to show you a game that I consider really fun.
Okay.
Actually, Paul Thurrott suggested this earlier on Windows Weekly, and I played it, and I said, wow, I got to make this my pick. And I threw out my pick. I'll save it for next week. I got a good cooking pick for you.
Ooh,
but this
cooking.
Is, yeah. Well, you want me to do that instead?
No.
This is called Defender of the Crown. Now, Paul is an Amiga head.
Okay.
So Paul likes Amiga games and always has. This is a port of an Amiga game that he says is exactly like it was on the Amiga. And so if you like classic Amiga gaming and that 8-bit look.
Well, you know, 8-bit is very hot right now.
It's very hot. And I tell you what.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
some of you will go nostalgia crazy on this thing. It is a lot of fun. It's $2.99, which is, I think, a very good price for a game of this caliber. There's a, as you see, copyright 1986.
this is it's the nostalgia shop.
Yeah, but you know what? It's actually, the gameplay on this is pretty good. And this is something that Paul said, and I agree with him. So, shall I be Steve Wozniak? Shall I be, who is that?
Oh, just choose
Steve
Jeffrey
Buscemi?
Longsword.
Jeffrey Longsword? Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Isn't that who you'd like to be? He's good at sword play.
Uh-huh.
So that's important because there are different things you can do in here. There's jousting. It's a little slow.
Well, I think, it's such a good emulator that it acts like
experience.
It used to.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The Normans are assembling armies. Got it.
Yeah, there's backstory. Okay. So there's Wilfred of Ivanhoe. He's good leadership, good jousting, average at sword play. These are the various people where they live.
All of your games look exactly alike, even Amiga games, Leo.
I know.
You've
I have a certain style that I like. No, there's much more going on in this game.
Oh, I bet.
So there's a little bit of a Risk element. You ever play Risk?
Yeah.
This is Risk, but you also have some other stuff. So you can actually hold a tournament. Come on.
I think you have to do them in order.
Maybe I have to.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem to be doing anything. Maybe.
Gee, what a great iPad app.
Come on!
Non-responsive.
It's just
like being
like
on an Amiga. they have a nice help menu for when you get
the tournament's
stuck.
Fun. I want to get into the tournament. Gosh darn it. What am I doing wrong?
Hold tournament. So, I don't know. Click on a state.
Maybe it's just not.
A region, rather.
It's nothing's doing anything. I take it back. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, restart. Thank you.
Oh, well, that was a great app.
That's not a button. That's your orders. $2.99
for a lot of fun.
It plays just like it used to. No, I'm just doing it wrong. It's fun. I was playing it. You have to kind of insert disk 2, and that was the problem. I only have one of the disks. Dan, 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 dan.
We're not going through this again. Defender of the Crown, everybody.
Okay, anyway.
No, I get it.
It's as good an app as my app cap.
Anybody
and I stand behind that.
Who is a fan of the game will get a kick out of
it. You will know, and it's a very faithful rendering of this game. This is nice. This is hybrid for iPhone as well as iPad.
Cool.
So you can play it, and the graphics are a little more compelling on the iPhone because it's the same, but it's
smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it seems like it would be the sort of thing that you'd want to play on the iPad.
It's really true to the original game, and that's
this is the sort of thing where you go, "Hey, buddy, get a load of this."
See,
look
they
what
couldn't
I'm playing.
Get any farther
Defender
than that
of the Crown.
Either. They got stuck there too.
they want to hold a tournament.
There's three screens.
How do you hold a tournament?
No, it got great ratings, and I think I was pushing the wrong button there. But you can have jousting and all sorts of stuff. See, same game.
Good stuff. Defender of the Crown. Amiga fans, cry no more. Wipe away those tears. You've got games. All right, Leo. We've come to the end of our show, and my head is on fire. I need to, like, put my head in the freezer before TNT starts.
That is a warm hat.
Do I look as warm as I feel?
Yeah. No, you're not glowing. You're not glowing, not at all. You will
just,
soon.
Glistening.
I'm going to slow down on the end of the show so we can really see how hot Sarah's head can get.
Great. Super excited.
Well,
thanks, thanks everybody for joining us on episode 59. This is our last episode.
In the 50s.
In the 50s. And then we go into the 60s.
That's momentous.
Isn't that great?
That's a big, big,
wow.
big deal there.
This is a pivotal moment, everybody.
Yes, it is. A transition that will never be forgotten.
Next week, we are going to talk about watching videos in the iPad. And it's not even just apps.
Well,
it's
and
all
I will
of
have
the
that,
best sources.
I will have that thing working, the view share.
You will?
It's going to help me get
cool.
that AirPlay working with
AirView.
The phone AirView.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. So that'll be part of our roundup because we've been getting a lot of good suggestions and been seeing stuff around because everybody's just kind of starting to go HTML5, and so you have a lot more options there, and people are cutting the cord, and they want different options besides cable that then they can stream to their big screen TV. So that's going to be our theme next week. If you have anything that we cannot leave out, please send them to us. A variety of ways. iPadtoday@twit.tv.
That's what I was asking. What's the email? iPadtoday. Okay, good.
That's right. And of course, you can always go and watch all of our show archives at twit.tv/IPT. That's our home base of the show. Watch all 59 episodes. Don't miss one.
Don't miss an episode. You'll regret it.
All right, everybody. See you next week.
I'm going to go hold a tournament.
Today.
Bye-bye. Tip of the hat.
Tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the...
So I'm back here. Oh, it's a pointer. There we go.
Oh, my gosh. That is awful.
There we go.
That is awful.
Thank you. How come I couldn't figure that out? Because you don't have a mouse on an iPad. All right, there we go. Wilfred of Ivanhoe hosts a day of jousting in the lists at Ashby de la 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 la.